Hello. My name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest in With Respect is Tom Fuller. Tom has acquired the moniker of being a cowboy artist. He is an artist. He has an interesting background leading up to that, but he is also a devotee of the West, of the United States, and focuses his art around horses and cowboys and their gear and everything else. Tom Fuller, With Respect. Tom, how are you today?
Fine, thank you, John. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. It's a beautiful day, and we're talking to two old friends, new friends, and I'm going to find out about cowboys. But first of all, I'm going to find out about you. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. That's where I was born, and I have family legacy there and in Oklahoma and Texas.
How did you get along in was it Wichita, did you say?
Yes, we moved here when my parents and I moved here when I was very young.
And where is here now? Where are you living these days?
Okay, up here. I'm currently staying in St. Joe, Benton Harbor area.
All right, Michigan.
Yes.
All right. But what brought you out of Wichita into your next location? Where was it? Was it Michigan?
Yes, I was pretty much raised in St. Joe, Michigan, Benton Harbor.
What brought you here? What brought your father here?
My mom. He married my mother, and we migrated here when I was a young child. My mom's family lives here in the Benton Harbor area, and she's a native of Benton Harbor. Mm-hmm. And she met my father in Wichita, and subsequently, I was born there, and it's where my genes come from.
Mm-hmm. So, where'd you go to school?
I went to school. Well, I went to high school at St. Joe High, but prior to that, I went to Columbus School in Benton Harbor. Mm-hmm. That was back in the days, and I started kindergarten there. And I tell you, I'll never forget. The first day of kindergarten, we went out, the teacher opened the door for recess, and I bolted right back home, right up my parents, right up to my parents' porch, slammed the door, walked into my room, closed the door, locked it, and that's where I sat.
I take it that you were not an academic at that time.
At that time, no. I very much was kind of a bashful, shy person, and I just kind of kept to myself.
Well, your family tradition is not just in art. It's your dad was in police work, wasn't he?
Yes, my dad started at the Benton Harbor Police Department back in, I think it was 1964, something like that. And he served Benton Harbor for 35 years, I believe, and retired there as the acting police chief. And when I graduated from high school, actually, between my junior and senior year of high school, the sheriff here in Berrien County, Nick Jewell, he hired me as in the dispatch communications room. And I spent my senior year in high school working midnights and going to high school during the day.
Hmm. What about after high school?
Well, I was encouraged, which I never was a big fan of education until I was encouraged to go to LMC. And at that time, they were having government grant programs for people in law enforcement. So I went there, and of course, you know, I had this fantastic professor, John Smetanka.
And we had to get that one in, didn't we?
That's right. He was a real gift, though. I will tell you that he had a lot of insight and gave a lot of insight, not just in what he taught, which was criminal law and the Constitution, but about education as a whole. And I did well at LMC, and I graduated from LMC and immediately entered into the bachelor's program at Western Michigan University. During that time, I was hired by the St. Joe Township Police Department and worked there full time, went to college, and pretty much dedicated my whole entire life to education and police work at that point. As far as education, to make a long story short, I have a master's degree in the administration of justice from Wichita State University, Wichita, Kansas, back where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And I graduated with honors from all three colleges.
Excellent. So now, how long were you a police officer?
I served for St. Joe Township. I believe it was 6 years I was there, very young. I left there, and I wasn't fulfilled. I never felt a fulfillment. And I sought more. I wanted more. And I wanted more. I wanted more challenges. I wanted more of what was there out there to see. So I embarked on a career. I had many positions in law enforcement. Because of that, I was able to gain a whole lot of experience and insight, not just into law enforcement, but people and life. And I was very fortunate to have been offered those positions and take them.
But you're no longer in law enforcement. How long have you been out of law enforcement, and what did you get into?
No, sir, I've been out of law enforcement. Oh, geez. It's got to be probably a good 8 or 9 years, mm-hmm. at least. I was, aside from not liking school and going to school, I had something I did that nobody really knew about, and because I never told anybody. And I kept it very quiet to myself, but I drew and painted horses and the West.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started doing that as a young child at 8 years old. I remember there was a strip mall in Benton Township, just outside of Benton Harbor in Michigan. And I walked in there, and I had a few dollars, and I went in there and I bought some oil paints and a little canvas. And I just started painting. I just had this kind of thought it was just part of me, just what I did. I had no incentive. Nobody talked to me about it, but I thought I was kind of fascinated with what you could do with a brush or a pencil. And I really wanted to see what happened. I think that's when, and I didn't realize it at the point at the time, but I think that's when the artist in me came out. But I was not at all. I mean, I was 8 years old, so I wasn't aware of any of that, but I think it's always been part of my life, and art and painting and drawing is as natural to me as anything else is in your life. We have to eat to survive. We have to breathe. I have to paint. It's just like that. So I did that. And I remember my mom my parents bought, I think I was in the eighth or ninth grade, they bought a set of World Book encyclopedias. Mm-hmm. And they put them on the shelf, and they were sitting there. And well, great reference material at the time, but I used them to stack up and prop up my canvas to paint on.
Hey, and, multifunctional.
Yes, and it worked quite well. And so I started painting just whatever I could think of or, just to try it. And I, some of these, I look at a couple of the things that I did that my mom still has as a child. And I can see looking back that I was a realist. I started out as a realist as a child. It's just part of me.
Well, what do you mean by a realist?
Well, realism, I'm considered a photorealist as an oil painter. I paint, meticulously paint. Whatever it is I paint, it's all of the detail is there. I don't miss, every hair on somebody's head, the wrinkles in their face, it looks very similar to a picture. Mm-hmm. Except for me, my life's experiences, photographs are photographs and they're great. Nothing against photographers or anything like that. But I think that as an artist and as a realist, I see the character in an individual or the horse, and the moment mm-hmm. that I think comes out in that. And I've been told that I call that, which is kind of I've kind of invented the term, I paint the soul of a moment, mm-hmm. Which I do. It's in that moment and in that second that there is so much going on, and to capture that and the character of any, whatever it is, if it's a horse, if it's a cowboy or a cowgirl, or if it's a sunset picture, whatever it is, it's that one moment that's created in our time that I work to capture, because we'll never get that back again. Just like the Western days, we won't get those back again, the old days.
Well, this is interesting because there is a whole school of, I'm going to call it realism, realists in painting, which is distinguished from, say, the Picasso types, which are very striking, and you have to be told that it's a woman that's being painted, or a dog, because sometimes it's not very clear that that's what it is. Then you have impressionists who basically might say the same thing, that they take an impression from a sight or a group of people, but it gets kind of hazy and fuzzy. And I've seen your work, and it's not hazy or fuzzy. It's, as you described, it's as real as you can make it. Great artist I loved when I was first looking at art was Andrew Wyeth, who, again, did such marvelous things as, Christina's World, and various old buildings in New England that he gave a character to. So, and I look at your paintings of horses and people and whatnot, and I get the same impression. I see this. Yes, it is meticulous, but it's also it's not to be distinguished. There is no haze to it, the haze of Degas or Monet or whoever. So, at any rate, you came up with your own style when you were eight. Wow.
It just kind of progressed as I got older, but I will tell you that the experiences that I obtained in not just in law enforcement, the education process, but those experiences have helped me understand things that I would have never seen before or understood, not having had those experiences. For instance, mm-hmm. I ran the medical examiner's office in the panhandle of Florida. And though that work, that kind of work, and my job, I was able to learn about anatomy, about things about anatomy, muscle structure, tendons, bones, those kind of things, which I use and think about today in my work. It's all part of my work. It's been part of my life. Mm-hmm. Portraiture is another thing. The formation of different people, their character, their face, the frontal bones, sinus bones, those kind of things, I see underneath what I'm painting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for me. I don't have a formal education in art. My education strictly in criminal justice. What I have done is this is all on my own. I didn't seek anybody's instruction. I didn't ask for anybody's help. This is just something that I've done, and I've been very bashful about it up until about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just something I kept to myself.
All right. We're going to take a break right now, Tom. We're talking to Tom Fuller, who is designated as the cowboy artist. And we're going to be finding out in our next segment just what that means and what turns him on about the West. This is John Smetanka, Run With Respect, and we will be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Tom Fuller. He's an artist. He was a law enforcement officer, a police officer. He was also a medical examiner, or I should say in charge of the medical examiner's office in the panhandle of Florida. He's from Wichita, and we're going to find out more about his life and how he got into cowboys and how he got into the West. This is John Smetanka. So, Tom, we get a lead in to horses and cowboys and cowgirls and equipment. I've seen some of your paintings, which are very good, very, very love to hang some of them in my walls. But at any rate, how did you transmogrify yourself into a cowboy artist?
Well, I've had several discussions with a lot of people about that around the country. There's a lot of definitions about what a cowboy is. There's the traditional cowboy that sparks. I'm on a horse all day and I run the range, I rope the cows, and then I come back in and, oh, I paint. Well, that does not happen to paint like I do or a lot of good artists out there. That's just impossible. It takes time, but being a cowboy is something that my grandfather and my grandmother were in Oklahoma, of that era. And it's my grandmother would shop in the same store and knew who Belle Starr was, which was an old female outlaw. And then her boyfriend's
The Clanton's boy, the Clanton boys, or the James boys?
Yeah, the Clantons. She, in fact, knowing that, she had a child with one of those guys. So, and Belle Starr ran with one of those people. And so when I go home to Oklahoma, you travel down some of those roads and you know that, well, this is a road where Bell Star was killed on. And so you see, me as an artist, I kind of feel a lot of history there. And my family, lived up on, on a mountain. I do believe that, from what I understand, that their property was obtained during the Oklahoma land rush. Mm. So it's been a long, a lot of history there. I'm a guy who paints with what is just in my heart. I don't paint and can't paint anything else. And I don't know why. But all I know is, I got my first cowboy boots from my grandfather when I was 3 years old. Basically never took them off.
Well, I'm going to stop you just a second. You mentioned Bell Star. Now, Bell Star has come up on this show in my life quite a few times. Bell Star was, as you said, a woman who was an outlaw down in the southwestern Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas area. And as I recall, she, correct me if I'm wrong, but she even got her start with the Quantrill's Raiders during the bloody, the fighting in bloody Kansas before the Civil War. But at any rate, funny story that I was talking to an investigator that I had asked to do some work on a case. And I called up his office in Michigan, and I just to check and see what's going on in the case. And his secretary said, "Well, he's not here. He's down in Missouri." I said, "Okay, would you have him call me?" So he called me about a half an hour later, and he was kind of put out. "What do you want? What do you want?" And I said, "Well, look, I just wanted to know about this particular case. And by the way, where are you at?" And he said, "Well, I'm in a place that you've never heard of." I said, "Really? Where would that be?" He said, "Oh, come on, John. It's a little town called Carthage, Missouri." And I said, "Oh, really? And where are you calling from in Carthage, Missouri? What do you mean? Where are you at right now?" And he said, "Well, I'm in the main square of town, the county seat. And I'm right here in the county, in a public phone booth." And I said, "Okay, now look around. Do you see the Bell Star Cafe?" And he stopped and he said, "How do you know that? Where are you at?" I said, "I'm in Michigan." I said, "John, I went to school in Carthage, Missouri for 6 years and had many dinners at the Bell Star, the cafe. It was a great place." And so, I know Bell Star from going to school when I was in high school. So, but a fascinating, I raise that woman because it kind of describes not just cowboys, but rather in the West, women and men partook of the same life. And so I can see when you're talking about getting cowboys and cowgirls, you're serious because it is it is not limited to men.
Oh, not at all. I think it's a label, but more than that, to me, it's got to be part of your person. It's got to be part of you, and it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. You can go, and I have been to Coffeyville, Kansas, where the Dalton brothers are buried there. Mm-hmm. And they're buried there because they robbed the local bank and got caught. They were shot and killed there. Mm. It's still there. They've preserved it very well. And then where my family, my father was raised, which is in little town called Stigler, Oklahoma, which is, it's basically between the Oklahoma-Arkansas border and Oklahoma City. They traversed that on horseback. And I believe, from what I understand, I think Bell Star spent some time in a little town called Whitefield, Oklahoma. at Whitefield, it's nothing there, but I think at one time it was a major stop for the cattle drives.
Mm.
I think she used to frequent that area, and that's probably where she got into trouble. I can't verify that, but that's kind of my thought process anyhow.
Well, you know, it's interesting with everybody's family. If you listen to your grandparents and your parents and your great-grandparents, they will episodically fill in the blanks on where they came from and what they did. It's not always accurate completely. It's not a photograph. It's kind of it's a little impressionism. That is, you get a story here and a story there, but you get a picture, and it gets into your soul as to where you came from, your genetic, if you will, your psychological, your social genetics. And it's interesting because even when you find out later in life that it's not, not completely accurate that great-grandfather won the Civil War, still, there's parts of it that are actually even more interesting than that great big thing about winning the war. Rather, something happened in their lives at a particular place at a particular time, and they remembered it and passed it on to the next generation. And they're passing on not only the event itself, but all the empathy and the feelings, the story, the history, and probably your little genetics in there that you then maybe pass on to your kids or to the next generation. But at any rate, so you're a Westerner by birth. You went back to the West, and you paint. What got you started in painting for a living? I take it at least partially for a living, in dealing with Western objects that you're recording.
Thank you for the question. I'd like to follow up on your comment there. I think as you get older and you learn a little more, you find out that what you learn is predominantly a framework of what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I put it, because they can't verify anything, but it kind of gives me a somewhat of a foundation to think about. But anyway, to answer your question, how did this happen? And that's kind of a funny thing, too, because this all happened by accident.
All right.
I am an artist for a major ranch in Texas called Beach Fork Ranch. And they raise Grand Champion cutting horses.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was I was invited to that ranch one day. I was in Fort Worth for a show called The American, which is just what I went to, but I was invited there. So I went to Beach Fork Ranch, and I wound up meeting the owner of the ranch. And he and I just started a short conversation. And I heard you're an artist. And I said, well, I am, but that's just what I do. And he said, well, I want to see your work. So I showed him a piece that I had, and he immediately said, I want first choice on everything you do.
Whoa.
Yes. And it wasn't long after that, he invited me to his other ranch in New Mexico for a cattle drive. So I went out there and went on that adventure, and I met another gentleman there. I had no clue who this gentleman was. And he was like, well, what do you ask for your work? And I said, whatever's reasonable. That's all I could tell you. I don't really know. This is whatever's reasonable. And he just nodded his head and said, okay. I went the other way. Well, I returned home, and he had bought all but two of my pieces of work.
Whoa.
And so that became a foundation for the rest of this. Word started getting out. I was given a contact, and her name is Grace Snido, and she was married to a very famous Western artist. And since she was married to him, divorced and friends with my, which turned out to be my client, she became my kind of a consultant on how to, you know, get the word out, and which I have no marketing experience, no business experience. But she was very helpful and with, you know, giving me some ideas. What happened was somebody had entered my piece in the Oil Painters of America National Juried Exhibition in 2016, and it got in. And I'm like, I'm in this with these top artists in the country. And I didn't even know they applied, but I got in, and I was like, wow. So the next year, I thought, well, lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place, so I'm going to try again. Expecting to not hear from them again. And I was juried into, again, in another Oil Painters of America exhibit in Dallas, Texas, at Southwest Gallery. So I went to that exhibit and talking to a number of artists there and telling them that I don't know anything about art. I don't even know how I do it. I can't tell you. I don't know anything. And I'll never forget, they looked at me and they said, if you're in this show, you're a master artist.
Ah.
Which really kind of, you know, my head got big for a minute, but then it settled right back down.
All right. We're going to take a break. Hold that thought, because we're going to take a break and come back. We're talking to Tom Fuller, who is identified as the cowboy artist. He is, we now know that he is a juried artist in art shows in Texas. And we're going to be talking more about where this has all led him, because it sounds like a lot of serendipity in his life. Things just happen. This is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we'll be right back. Back on With Respect with Tom Fuller, who is an artist in oils and sketches of horses and men and women and odds and ends of the West. Not the old West necessarily, but the new West, the West that is out there right now. This is John Smetanka. So, when we left off, Tom, you were talking about You are now told that you are a master because you are in a you are juried into an art show down in Texas.
That's correct. I since that time, I was, there were some articles written about me. I was in an article in this, it was an online magazine called The American Cowboy. And subsequently, I was contacted by the Western Art Collector magazine, a representative there, and just out of the blue. And evidently, my work resonated with the, who happened to be the international sales director there. And that started a long Well, I've been in their magazine 3 times in the last 2 years, and American Art Collector magazine, and I'm just currently in Southwest Art magazine. In the current issue, there's a section in there called Ones to Collect, and they called me and asked me if I would be in that section. So that's quite an honor to do that. Part of the pathway there, however, was I found this organization called the International Guild of Realism, which is what I do. And I was juried into that organization. It's a very esteemed organization. Not everybody applies that gets into it. Its members are from around the world. Their shows feature different countries and the art and all of it is realistic art. Mm-hmm. So I have been juried into their exhibits, exhibitions since 2020. I've been in there. I've been juried into their last 3 exhibits, and word got out to somebody in Texas last year. They had a solo exhibition of my work at the Henderson Gallery in Sweetwater, Texas. And along those lines last year, I won the Editor's Choice Award from the Western Art Collector magazine. So now I can call myself an international award-winning artist.
Well, you know, I'm looking at, as we talk, I'm looking at a painting you drew of a number of horses on a plane, and you've got it in your website. By the way, what is your website so people can come and see some of your work?
They're welcome to it. Yes, it's brand new. It's just it needs some tweaking yet, but it is tfullerstudios.com.
Okay, that sounds good. tfullerstudios.com.
Yes.
All right, good. So now, when you this picture, this painting, I take it as a painting of the horses that a small herd of horses, and they look like they're enjoying themselves out in the prairie, and it's beautiful, and there's clouds and a blue sky and the sunlight. Very evocative, very, very evocative to me of freedom and of the beauty of the integration of people and machines, animals. So how did you happen to come up with this one? Why did you choose this subject?
Well, this one was commissioned. The owner of Beach Fork Ranch commissioned this piece, and the original... It was commissioned at 30 by 65 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge painting. And with the way I paint, it took me 1 year to complete.
Wow.
And the challenges, and with all of the horses, when you go to my webpage, the horses that you see are top cutting horses, or they're owned by certain people. And it's not just a painting of a horse. The owners that have commissioned this work own these horses. So now it's not just, they don't want to see just a horse. They want to see their horse.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that pressure. I painted those horses in that painting who were owned by Beach Fork Ranch and my other client, Z&T Cattle Company. And so when I completed it, took it to the owner, and then my other client got together, they looked at the painting, and they looked at at all the horses and the fillies and the colts, the young horses that were running, to go, well, this one's a different color now, and that mom's, does this or does that. So they recognized each horse from at the time it was painted, which to me is a really nice compliment. So it goes on the, you know, the piece there. If you look at the background, there's a thunderstorm coming up. Part of the sky is blue. It's typical New Mexico. When you look off, you can see a storm coming up. The horses are moving across the field. And horses, to me, are probably the most soulful animal, other than a dog, of course, that is out there. I mean, horses see you coming before you see them. They know how you feel before you get close to them. You know, they're real sensitive. And so when I paint a horse, it isn't just the horse. It's the soul. It's the character of that piece. I have since been invited to be the artist for an organization called Breeders Invitational. And that's a cutting horse organization. And I am working on a piece for them. And it's a horse in action. And people say, well, yes, it's a horse in action, but it is the movement, is the muscle movement. And it's an athlete. And it's work, and those horses work to do that. And I'm working on completing that one. I just got another commission of the next Hall of Fame cutting horse that's coming in, going to be inducted, Hiss and Vinegar, its name, through the National Cutting Horse Association. It's quite an honor to do that. It's nothing I take for granted. I'm just honored that people believe in my work and enjoy it, and that it does something for them. It's, you know, strikes an emotion, or a feeling. And that to me is a big thing.
Now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about words that you used that, maybe not all of us are familiar with. You use the term juried. When you are juried, at an art show, what does that mean?
That means they select a number of accomplished artists, art directors, museum curators, a number of people, and they review all of the pieces that come in that want to compete to get into the show.
So it's a competition just to get into the show.
Yes.
And just like in trial work, you have a jury making the life and death decision about you.
Exactly. And it can be daunting because there are some of these exhibits that I've been in, you know, there are thousands of applicants, and they only will let in maybe 200 or 300.
Mm-hmm. The other,
especially.
Go ahead.
Especially these international shows.
All right. Well, the other phrase that you use is a cutting horse. Now, we've had a fellow on this program who's an artist also out of Three Oaks, and he does thoroughbred racehorses, and that's his specialty. But we know that there are different kinds of horses, or at least the horses, there are different breeds of horses, and there's different distinctions among horses by what they do, or what they're bred for. So what is a cutting horse?
Well, a cutting horse, primarily, first of all, it's a quarter horse. Mm-hmm. A quarter horse is a standard horse that's, you know, a cowboy horse.
Mm-hmm.
It is a natural instinct for a cow to remain with its herd. And so when you separate that cow from the herd, it wants to get back. So the cutting horse that cuts that cow from the herd, or steer, however you want to put it, from the herd, the horse's job is to get down in that dirt and keep that steer or cow from getting back to the herd. And there's a lot of back and forth and the dirt that flies. It's quite an event, and it's very interesting to watch.
I've seen rodeos that that I think that what you're describing I've seen in rodeos where they have cutting horse competitions or programs in these rodeos. And people of all ages, I've seen little kids, adults, men, women, riding these cutting horses, and it's really fun to watch.
Oh, yes. It's, you know, I still think that the rodeo is probably the best sport in this country. I think it's a true American sport. It's all really about, you know, it's about integrity and doing a good job and training and exercise and how you raise the animal, how you treat the animal, how you train the animal. And, you know, there's just a ton of good people out there that are engaged in that.
And what other kinds of Western horses are there, or what other kinds of training programs are there, if there are others?
Well, there's barrel racing, which is very interesting, where the cowboy or cowgirl, there's three barrels, and they're timed about the horse going around the barrel, all the three barrels, and getting back to the starting line without knocking the barrel over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's barrel racing. There's a couple other things. Is bronc riding, which is, to me, is very interesting. It's kind of like bull riding to stay on that animal.
Mm-hmm.
There's steer roping, calf wrangling. And there's, you know, those kind of things that, you know, they're all competition.
Well, and something else, let me take a break right now. I'm going to come back and say what I find in common about all those. But at any rate, this is John Smetanka Run With Respect, and we're talking to Tom Fuller, an artist dedicated to the West of the United States, the current West, horses, cowboys, cowgirls, equipment, and so on. And we're going to be talking with him about his work, but also some observations he's made throughout life. This is, as I say, John Smetanka, and we will be right back. We're now back with Tom Fuller, an artist from the Midwest who's gone and made a career of being an artist of horses and people and things in the West. This is, I say, John Smetanka. Now, what I was going to say is every single one of those different kinds of functioning horses that you've talked about, they are not pets. That is, there is an active participant in all of their work, whether it's cutting or calf roping or whatever. The person, the cowboy, the cowgirl, is intimately related. They're always being ridden and directed by a human being. So there's a bond between the horse and the rider that I find fascinating.
That's a huge, huge thing. That doesn't happen without that bond, no matter where. You know, we talk about the old cowboy. Well, it was the same thing. A lot of these competitions in the rodeo have evolved and are just as much as part of working the ranch. They're just in the rodeo. They call it a rodeo now, but everything they do in there, they did on a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about bronc riding. Well, you know, the horse had to be, you know, to get a saddle on it and to get a leg up on it, you have to train it. There's going to be some rough rides on that horse until it learns that it's okay to, and gets used to a saddle on its back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of that is creating a bond. And actually for me, that bond with a horse starts the second you walk into the barn. Mm-hmm. The second you see it, that's when the bond starts, and it can either be good or bad, depending on you.
All right. We've talked a lot about the horses, but the West and what we've just described, which is the functions that are necessary or were necessary on a ranch in the West, come back to people. They are, the riders are people who have characters of their own. So, but you don't just paint horses, you paint people. And
yes,
I noticed in one of your paintings you got three fellows sitting alongside some sort of a device, horse carriage, horse trailer. And it's kind of interesting. They're all looking off in the same direction. They kind of have a relaxed attitude. They're got cowboy hats and blue jeans and chaps and whatnot. How did you happen to paint that picture?
I was actually, that was an image that I took from the cattle drive I was on in New Mexico. Those cowboys are all working ranchers. The one on the far left is Kelly Crum. He owns Beach Fork Ranch. The one in the middle is Travis Keeney. He is the brother and owns the next ranch over Heartache Ranch. And he's the brother to my other client, Zane Keeney, who owns, I think he and his brother own Z&T Cattle Company. And the guy on the farthest right is Daryl Welty. He is a rancher out there in New Mexico. So these guys work the ranch. And going out there, that isn't just, well, I think I'll go out for a couple hours today. It's all day work. It is branding cattle. It is, treating for disease. It's a whole, and it's, and on top of that, they've got to herd them up and get them penned in order to do that. So, it's not just, well, I think I'll do it for a little while today. It's really a commitment and can take a long time. And it's hard work. And I happened to be there, and I brought them all the old style Coors cans, and it was about sunset. And so we were all kind of joking. They all looked the other way and they had these Coors that they were drinking. And so I painted it and titled it Cowboys and Coors.
I love it.
And talking about people, I did one of the first commissions I ever had. He's a friend of mine. He's a former state trooper in Michigan. And his wife had a couple of horses and they passed away. But I got the images. And I did this painting, and he gave it to his wife for Christmas. And the best thing that ever happened to me was his wife called me on Christmas Day in tears. And I tell you, that still kind of gets to me. She was just really, excited about that and just touched by, the fact that, she could, she knew which horse it was and that kind of a thing. We're all, kind of recreated.
You're describing again what I started this segment with, and that is there is a relationship between humans and the horses that they are identifying with, that they have, and it's very important for, just like your dog or your cat, it's important that it's so important that relationship that when a cat, a dog will die, it's a death in the family. And the same thing I would imagine, it apparently is true, between a cowboy or a cowgirl and their horse. Very deep relationship.
Yes, I have a friend. She is a trail guide in California and in Colorado in the summertime. And She had a horse that she, you know, was her best friend for 20 years. And she was on a trail guide not too long ago. And evidently the horse lost his balance. And she told me, she says, I gave him the reins. And she said, I do not know how I was able to get off and stay on top of the mountain. She was absolutely crushed. I mean, that poor lady was, you know, just beside herself, and she lost that horse. The term best friend is not just a term when it comes to, you know, like you said, when it comes to your pets or your animals. I mean, they're your heart and soul. Yep. They own a piece of that.
Yeah, and they take it with them, and you mourn. It's the loss of a family member.
Yes, it is. I remember growing up, I had a dog, and she was definitely a family member. And my dad would always get mad at me because I would sneak her up in the bedroom and let her sleep with me in bed. He didn't like that, yeah. But she was just like my sister.
Yeah, I'm going to take you back for a minute to you talked about going on a cattle drive. I've seen what is that great series of TV specials about cattle drive, and some great characters play in it. But so how long was your cattle drive? We're talking thousands of miles or 10 or what?
No,
is it?
No, it was, you have to understand that the ranches that are owned by Beach Fork and Z&T Cattle Company are huge, huge ranches. They're not acres. They're miles. I mean, they're mountains. They're huge. And it can take, you know, excuse me. I think a lot of that was going out during the day and then doing what they had to do and then come back to the bunkhouse at night and then get up right when the sun rises the next day and get right back at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of throws me into another issue. When I met the owner of Beach Fork Ranch, and I had just met him, and he talked about the painting, he told me, he says, I want you to stay here at the bunkhouse. And I thought, you know what, I'll just get a hotel room. I'm a little bashful about those things. Thank you very much. And he was, nope, I want you to stay here at the bunkhouse. Well, that bunkhouse turned to be into a wonderful, wonderful part of his home. And it was just really accommodating. And now my clients are my best friends. They're good friends, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how during life we come up with friendships of people we never, ever, ever would have thought in the world that we were going to, who was going to be a great friend or a helper. I found that in politics, people who I only met once during the campaign, or when I first met them, I didn't know who they were. They became my best friends. And to this day, many of those people are just that, my best friends.
That's very interesting you say that, because that was my thought here not long ago. This journey that I'm on with my art that I never would have expected. The people I have met, the things that I've happened, the places that I've been to have just been great. I mean, I would have never expected that. And it had not been for this, I would have never met them.
Sure.
Or done those things.
All right. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I want to get another chance for you to, what is your website that people are going to take a look at some of the work that you're doing? What is it?
It is tfullerstudios.com. I mentioned before, it's brand new, and I really haven't even announced it yet, but it's just got up. There's a box there that you can type your email in, and you can get on a list, or you can send me an email from there. And I'm most willing to talk with people and help people wherever I can. That's what, to me, that's what this is all about. It's not just me. It's about people and animals.
And horses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, Tom. It's been a great chance to talk to you and find out about your work and your career and your life. So,
well, thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. The name of our program is With Respect. We're on every Sunday and Thursday. And remember, our mantra, if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.